Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 50 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S, and on Pinterest as Summer Newland, which is S-O-M-E-R-N-E-W-L-A-N-D, and I'm pretty sure that's all one word. And on Goodreads as also, I think it's Summer Newland, but it may just be Summer. If you can, you can look me up there. If not, send me a Ravelry message with your username and I can friend you that way. I'd love to connect with you on other social media. I am recording today on March the 9th at about 7 p.m. I am recording in the evening instead of in the morning because that just was not working for me anymore. I do have family in the house, so you may hear some background noise, and I could get interrupted, in which case I will try to pause, but such is life. I got brave and decided to go ahead and podcast in the dining room with the family milling around and just get this over with. Not get this over with, but just do it because I miss you guys and I wanted to talk. For those of you who are just now tuning in for the first time, I would say that I don't normally ramble this way, but yeah, I kind of do. And for those of you who are coming back, thanks for putting up with all the rambling. Okay, I am going to switch things up this week and probably from now on, and I'm going to move the what I've been up to the very end for those of you who may not be interested in that part of my life. And I'm going to do the knitting and all of the other good stuff first. But before I get started, I'd like to thank Carolina Spinner, who is Ashley, for the shout out in her podcast, which is the Twisted Stitcher podcast. And you can find that on YouTube. Ashley is the proprietress, hard word to say, of the Twist Fiber Studio, which just kicked off. She finished her Kickstarter and sent out her rewards recently, and she's going to have her first update April 1st, hopefully. So keep your eye out for that. I am just in love with the fiber she sent, and I cannot wait to spin it. All right, so let's get into the knitting. Finished objects. I actually have two finished objects this week, and I am so excited to tell you about the first one. I finished my worsted boxy, which is a pattern by Hohe Locatelli, and is the paid pattern, and I did that in Malabrigo Rios, and I'm not completely sure the color. It was labeled as Bobby Blue. I'm not sure if that is the true colorway or not, although I did find Ravelry pictures that back up that there are other people with the shade. I finished this, I think it was last Tuesday. Yes, I finished it Tuesday, blocked it on Wednesday, or Tuesday night, Wednesday, and was able to wear it on Thursday when we had a strong cold front come through, so it was really nice to get to wear it, and it is everything I thought it would be. I don't know if you remember when I first started talking about knitting it, and I said I wasn't sure if it would fit me right, but if it, you know, what I was hoping for was basically, you know, something kind of like a sweatshirt that was just cozy and soft, and that is exactly what I got. It is so soft, and it's huge. It's a boxy. If you have seen the pattern, you know that it is a very large sweater. It's basically a big square with little short sleeves, and it's like being wrapped up in a blanket when I'm wearing it, and it is wonderful. And luckily, it was cool enough this week for me to actually get to wear it. I would be surprised if I get to wear it again this year, other than maybe at home. It's kind of chilly tonight, so I could throw it on tonight. But it will be warm. It'll probably start warming up now. It won't be cool again until, well, probably not until October or so. So I'm super excited that I got to get it finished and got to wear it before it got too warm. I was not expecting that. I took advantage of a sick day. I woke up with a headache. You know, I don't know if you have this experience, but when a front is coming through, the atmosphere change sometimes gives me a headache. So I woke up with a headache on Tuesday, and this is relevant, but it gave me a day to work on it that I was not expected, and I worked my booty off and got it finished. So yay for that. I'm super excited. I love the sweater so much. The other thing I finished was a really quick project. I hadn't mentioned it in my last podcast because I didn't know I was going to make it. My daughter asked, she found a pattern on, I think she found the pattern on Etsy, for a Shrek hat, like the ogre from the DreamWorks movie. It was just a simple crocheted hat with little ogre ears on it. And asked if I could make it for her friend whose birthday was this past week. And I said sure, because it was a really easy pattern. It also gave me something to turn in for the Harry Potter house cup. So I bought the pattern. It was a couple of dollars, maybe $4. It is, as so obviously, it is the Shrek ogre hat and is a paid pattern by Judy Washburn. And you can find it on Etsy and on Ravelry. And I used Red Heart Soft in the guacamole color, which is kind of, hold on. Okay. Background noise. If you are familiar with Shrek, you know the color of Shrek, and it's a very close color. It's kind of a limey, as it says, avocado-y color green. I'm sorry, I'm distracted because I'm not used to having background noise around me. So those are my two finished objects. I'm very pleased with both of them. The Shrek hat was received very happily by the recipient. And she did mention this weekend that her mom now wants to learn to crochet. And so I had the Teach Yourself Visually crochet book that I learned to crochet with that I don't need anymore. And I passed that on to her. So hopefully that will be a good thing. So works in progress that I have worked on this week. I am still working on the cerise, which is from Curls by Hunter Hammerson. And I am using Dream and Color Starry and Purple Rain, which is a very, very dark purple. That it looks black in most lights. But in the sunlight, you can tell that it is purple and it is sparkly. I have finally gotten the rhythm of this pattern and am continuously working on that, and I really like it. The other thing, I picked back up the sock yarn blanket this week, and I've gotten maybe about 4 squares done this week. And that's going well. I also started the Newton Shawl, which is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey that was gifted to me by U Creek Cottage, who is Renee, on Ravelry and Instagram for my birthday. And I am using Cascade Everlasting Sock and Henna. And this is the, they've recently changed that yarn line. And this is the older line. I don't know what the difference is, but I'm really enjoying this. It's very springy, but the dog is scratching. It's 100% superwash merino, I think. It's 100% merino. I think it's 100% superwash merino. It doesn't have any nylon in it, which is what I was hoping for, because the Saturn's Ring shawl that I made a while back doesn't hold its shape very well because I used something that has a good bit of nylon in it. And I was wanting something that would hopefully hold its shape a little better. I learned my lesson with that shawl, I think. So this is a pretty kind of brick red, and I am really, really loving the stitch definition on this. And so far it's a really easy pattern. Most of her shawl patterns have a garter stitch body and then some detail on the edge. And that's what this one is. So I'm just on the garter stitch body section. I'm probably about a third of the way through that. I am really enjoying this pattern so far. I am also working on the Basia hat. It's probably Basia. Basha, B-A-S-I-A. And that is a paid pattern by Hannah, and I am getting ready to completely butcher this, Masijewska? It's M-A-C-I-E-J-E-W-S-K-A. It's actually, it's probably Machajewska, or something like that. And I'm using Malabrigo worsted and applewood, which is a really pretty light brown. And this is a great pattern. It's got a couple of inches of 1x1 rib, and then it goes into this really cool stitch pattern. It's just knits and purls and slip stitches, but it looks woven, and it is so cool. And I am probably about a third of the way done with that, maybe a little more than that. And that one I've taken to work, and it's my break knitting. And I love working with Malabrigo worsted anyway, and the color is pretty, and this is going to be a nice hat when I'm done. So those are all of my works in progress. I thought I would give a little bit of an update. I finished the Olympic Forest baby blanket, and we found out tonight that the baby was born on Saturday on his due date. And he was a healthy baby boy, 6 pounds, 14 ounces, name of Toby Elliott. First and middle name, obviously. I'm not going to give the last name. But he's a beautiful little boy. So I can't wait to get that in the mail to him. So let's move on to spinning. I have been doing quite a bit of spinning this week. Let's talk about my spindle first. I started on some row logs from Lone Star Arts that I got at Kid and You in the fall. They are merino, mohair, and something else that I cannot remember right now. I have no idea what it was. It was a word that I didn't know. But they are, the merino is just a natural, like, white, and with these bits of the, I'm assuming it's the mohair, that are the little chunks of blue and green. And it's not the most fun spin. Whatever the other thing is, and it gives it a very long staple length. So it's very different from what I have spun before. So it's spinning pretty thick. And it's very, it's total art yarn, guys. But it is really cool. I don't know how much yardage I'll get. I think I had about an ounce of the row logs. Maybe a half ounce. I don't remember. I know I had some from her last year that I spun, and I think it was only half an ounce. So this could be not a full ounce. But it's a fun, I like the outcome of it. I'm not enjoying spinning it. It doesn't have anything to do with the prep. The prep is fine. It's just the fiber is not quite what I was expecting. I'm almost done. I either had 5 or 6 row logs, and I am on the last one, and I am more than halfway done with that. So I'll probably get that finished tomorrow. This is thick enough that I will definitely keep it as a single, so I will fold that probably this coming weekend, and then I'll see what the yardage was. I've also been spinning quite a bit on my wheel. This past weekend, I finished the Hawassi Creek Dye Works Merino Bamboo that I had been spinning. It's in the colorway Glacier, which is a really pretty gradient from just like an ice blue to a gray. It's just so pretty. And I was going to originally try to apply it, do Navajo plying. I have not been successful in my attempts to learn that yet. So I just broke it in two and did a 2-ply, and it turned out so pretty. It wasn't, my spinning was not super consistent. It was pretty consistent, but then there were parts that were seriously overspun. For the most part though, I did a really good job with this. It was my first yarn that doesn't look, it shows that I'm getting there. It shows definite improvement. So far, I measured it when I took it off the Knitty Knotty, and before I soaked it. At that point, I had about 130 yards, and I would say It's a worsted to a bulky, more towards the worsted side, I think. And it is really pretty. It is still drying, and once it dries, I will measure it again and see what my actual yardage is and untangle it, because when I was putting it on the Nitty Knotty, I obviously tangled something. So I'm not looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to seeing how much I got and figuring out what I want to do with it. 130 yards is enough that I could do something for sure. Cats are going crazy too now. So I finished that, and then yesterday I put on the wheel some Blue Face Luster top in lilac from Mountain Colors, and I am loving spinning this. This is the first time I have started spinning something that I feel like I know what I'm doing. The fiber is doing what I want it to do, or at least maybe I have learned to let the fiber do what it wants to do. It is a pretty consistent spin, and I don't think it's, there may be a couple of places where it's overspun, but for the most part, it is extremely consistent, and I am super pleased with it. The colors are nice. It's it says it's lilac, but it's that purpley color with some green in it also. And I bought it when we went to Gatlinburg last summer at Smoky Mountain Spinnery, and it reminds me of the Smokies, so I am really, really enjoying that. And that one I will two-ply that for sure. So that is all of my spinning. I have not done any cross stitch. I haven't picked that up at all in a couple of weeks. I need to get back on that. But I am enjoying what I'm doing right now, so no hurry. Enabling and acquisitions, I only have one thing to talk about this week. I made an absolute impulse buy a couple of weeks ago and bought myself a skein of Miss Babs Yowza. I don't know why. It was one of this was, I think I maybe mentioned last week that I said that I told my husband that from now on, or at least for a little while, I have to tell him before I purchase anything. Not because I need permission, but because I need someone to keep me from pulling the trigger. Yeah, that's what happened. This was the purchase that kind of did that. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting a little too loose with that. So I bought the Miss Babs Yowza. And I bought it. It's in the Blue Ridge colorway. And it's blues and greens. And it is very, very pretty. And I really want to cast something on. But I'm enjoying what I'm knitting right now. And I don't really want to divide my attentions further. So I'm going to hold on to that. Maybe I'll cast that on in April. And I'm either going to make a Yowza Wayett shawl or a brickless. I can't decide which. So I think that is the only enabling that I have this week. So let's move on to In the Kitchen. I actually don't have very much to share here either. The only thing that I made from scratch was Grandma's Sticky Pecan Rolls from Sally's Baking Addiction Cookbook. These turned out very well. You may remember a couple of months ago, I made, I don't know what they were called, but they were same kind of rolls with strawberry in them, and they did not turn out that well. And the reason, part of it was the filling all oozed out, and the other part was I cooked them too long. So I learned from that, and I checked these. These were still cooked just a tiny bit too long, but I checked them and did not cook them as long as I should have. As long as the recipe called for. I'm saying a lot. Sorry, guys. These were really, really good. If you've had sticky rolls before, you know what I'm talking about. You have like a mixture of pecans and brown sugar and corn syrup that is on the bottom of the pan, and then you have these rolls that you put on top of it and bake them, and then you flip them over and you've got this gooey, sticky pecan yumminess. And they turned out so good. This was, I have not done a lot of yeast baking, and this was one of the first things I've done that has just really turned out good. I loved them. Again, I highly recommend that cookbook. But that's really the only thing that I cooked. I mean, we've eaten out a few times, but I haven't been cooking. I don't know why. Just haven't really been in the mood. So that is all of the In the Kitchen for this week. What I'm reading, I think I told you last time I recorded that I've really kind of found my groove with reading this year, which is really nice. I don't know. I've become a monogamous reader. I'm only reading one thing at a time, and I'm really enjoying it. So I finished The Scar Boys by Lynn Vlahos, which I talked about last time, which was about the boy who had been struck by lightning or nearly struck by lightning as a child, joined a rock band. That was a really good book. I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. It was just a really good young adult book. And then I started and finished another book since I've recorded last time. I read Horror Store by Grady Hendrix. And it's spelled H-O-R-R-O-R-S-T-O-R with the umlaut over the second or the third or the O in store. And if you are familiar with IKEA, then you will really enjoy this book. It is extremely campy. It is about a knockoff of IKEA in Ohio. Well, was it in the book? It's a chain. And the whole book is set in this store, and it's called Orsk. And the book itself looks like an IKEA catalog. And the layout, it has, you know, it looks like a catalog, and it has, you know, furniture, like the, it's not Danish, Swedish furniture, with the funny names, and there's often some plays on the names. You'll have to check it out to see what they are. And the store is haunted. And there are some staff members who are tasked to stay overnight to try to find out. They don't know that it's haunted, but they think that there are some break-ins. So they're trying to catch some people. And then, of course, they find out that it's haunted. And it's actually, there are some parts of it that are really gruesome. I only gave it 3 stars. I really enjoyed it. It was very campy. It was really funny. I would recommend it. But the writing wasn't that great, and it was a little predictable. But it was definitely a fun read. So I would recommend that one. Then I started a book called The Half-Life of Planets by Emily Franklin and Brendan Halpin. And I didn't make it past the 50 pages on that one. There wasn't anything wrong with it. It's another young adult book. It just didn't really grab my attention. I wasn't connecting with the characters. And as I've mentioned before, I'm sure I give myself 50 pages. And if it's not doing anything for me, then I'll put it aside and read something else. And sometimes I'll come back to it if I think it has promise. This one, I just didn't care enough about. So I put that aside. And then today, I guess it was this morning, I started Charmed Life by Diana Wynne Jones. It's part of the Crestomancy Chronicles. It's a children's book. The book I have is the Crestomancy Chronicles, and it has Volume 1 and Volume 2. And for right now, I'm just going to read Volume 1, and I'll put the book aside. And at some point, I'll read the second one. Sorry, I got hair in my mouth. Okay, sorry about that. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that so far. The one thing about reading monogamously is that sometimes things come up and I want to read them, but right now things are going so well that I'm just going to pass. The bookish stitcher, Jeanette, she is having a read-along of The Night Circus in her book, in her group right now, and I've really wanted to read that book, but I think I'm going to pass right now because I'm really happy with the way my reading is going. But if you, that's something you're interested in, I highly recommend you jumping in, because I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun. So that is it as far as my knitting, my cooking, and my reading. I am going to move into what I've been up to. If you don't, or if you aren't interested, I won't be offended if you leave now. And if you are interested, then let's get going. So there hasn't been a whole lot, but I did have a really busy weekend. I think I mentioned that at the beginning. This is the third time I've recorded, so maybe I didn't. But Friday night, so back up. My husband went to Austin this past weekend. I was originally supposed to go with him, but my kids had plans over the weekend, and I had parental duties, basically. So I stayed here. Friday night, Laura and I hung out and watched The Other Boleyn Girl on Amazon Prime and ate queso for dinner. We had the idea to try putting bacon in it instead of another kind of meat. Didn't work that well. It didn't taste bad, but the queso, the Velveeta is already so salty that you surely couldn't taste the bacon that much. So it was suggested to me that maybe if we put a little bit of bacon grease in there, it might taste it more. That might work, but it also might just make it more salty. So it was an experiment, didn't work that well. As far as the movie goes, I had read The Other Boleyn Girl years ago, and I really enjoyed it. The movie was okay. It was really depressing. I mean, you know, we know what's going to happen to Anne Boleyn, but there, it just was not particularly upbeat. It was okay, but the book was so much better. So that was my Friday night. Saturday was very busy. So my daughter had an appointment to get her hair cut. So we took Eli to hang out with his girlfriend who happened to live just a few blocks away from where Laura was getting her hair cut. So we took him and went to get Laura's haircut. Another friend of hers had come with us. So we hung out, and I don't know what Emily did, but I knit and checked my phone and all that stuff that you do while we waited. And then after the haircut, we went and picked Eli and his girlfriend up and went and had lunch at the Black Labrador, which is an English-style pub not too far from where she lives. And that was a lot of fun, actually. It was me and four kids or teenagers, and it was fun. I don't know. I enjoyed that. And then Laura's friend, Emily, had a project she had to do where she had to do basically kind of a cultural study of an area of town, and she chose Montrose, which is the area of town that we were in. And it is a very kind of eclectic, funky area of town. It is there's a lot of gay culture and lots of thrift stores, and it's very artsy, and so it was a good choice for, you know, a cultural experiment. So we did a little bit of driving around after lunch so Emily could take pictures. We stopped at a place called the Rothko Chapel, which is, actually, I'm just going to read to you what it is because I am terrible at explaining these things. So this is from their website. It's a little long. This is the Rothko Chapel, founded by Houston philanthropists John and Dominique de Menille, was dedicated in 1971 as an intimate sanctuary available to people of every belief. A tranquil, meditative environment inspired by the mural canvases of Russian-born American painter Mark Rothko. The chapel welcomes over 80,000 visitors each year, people of every faith and from all parts of the world. On the plaza, Barnett Newman's majestic sculpture, Broken Obelisk, stands in memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The Rothko Chapel is an independent institution, a sacred place open to all people every day. In 2014, the chapel celebrated its 43rd anniversary, having achieved in those years recognition as one of the greatest artistic achievements of the second half of the 20th century. In 2001, the chapel was listed in the National Register of Historic Places, an honor awarded before the institution was 50 years old. The chapel regularly makes top 10 lists of places to visit and is featured in and is a featured entry in National Geographic's book, Sacred Places of a Lifetime, 500 of the World's Most Peaceful and Powerful Destinations, published in 2009. The chapel has two vocations, contemplation and action. It is a place alive with religious ceremonies of all faiths and where the experience and understanding of all traditions are encouraged and made available. Action takes the form of supporting human rights, and thus the chapel has become a rallying place for all people concerned with peace, freedom, and social justice throughout the world. And their mission statement is, the mission of the Rothko Chapel is to inspire people to action through art and contemplation, to nurture reverence for the highest aspirations of humanity, and to provide a forum for global concerns. So that's what the Rothko Chapel is. And it is a very peaceful building. It's a very, very plain building. From the outside, it just looks like a brick structure. And then on the inside, it's just this open area with some benches and some pillows for people who might want to kneel. And these paintings on all of the walls that are just very, very simple. They are, I mean, a couple of them, honestly, they just like look like black canvases, but if you look at them very closely, you can see subtleties. It was a really interesting place, and I was glad to be able to take them there and so that Emily could include this in her project. And then after that, we just drove down the main drag through Montrose, which is Westheimer, and, you know, looked at the shops and the restaurants and that type of thing, and got stuck in traffic, unfortunately, because they're doing construction. And then we came home, which is about 20 minutes away. Hung out for a while, and then Laura, Eli, and Laura's friend Natalie were going to a comedy show that we had gotten tickets for a while back at University of Houston, which is also back into the city. So we went and had dinner at Jenny's Noodle House, which is a kind of a Vietnamese Thai fusion place. It's really, really good. That's not far from Eli's girlfriend's house. So we all went there, had dinner, and then I dropped Charlie off, Eli's girlfriend, and then took them to the concert. And then I went home and had a few minutes to myself before Jimmy got home from Austin. We hung out, and then they all came back, and Laura's friend stayed over for the night. Sunday was a mostly lazy day. We had to run some errands. It was kind of rainy. And that's when I did a lot of the spinning, when I plied the yarn and started spinning the BFL. And Laura had another thing to go to. It was another friend's birthday, so we had to take her up there. It was one of those weekends where you're just running all over the place. Another thing that I didn't mention that has been going on, Jimmy and I have been trying very hard to get more active, so we've been walking about a mile every night, which is not as much as we would like to, but it's about as much as time allows most days. Our goal is to try to do 5 miles per week. For right now, we'll move that up. But it was enough that I won the Work Week Hustle, I think, on Fitbit, where I've mentioned before that there's a bunch of us knitters and Instagrammers who do these challenges, and this was the first one I'd won, so that was really exciting to me, and it was very inspiring. Upcoming, Jimmy and Laura are going to North Carolina next week during spring break. I am staying here. I kind of just need a vacation where I don't need to do anything. And it was stressing me out, the idea of even going to North Carolina. So I will go in June and I will go in August, but I'm not going next week. So I am taking the week off and I'm going to hang out with Eli. I think I've mentioned this last week. We plan to paint his room and I've got some projects that I want to do. I'm going to get my hair cut during the middle of the week. So, yeah, there's that. Oh, I did want to mention, in Ashley's podcast, the Twisted Stitcher, again, Twisted Stitcher, there's so many that are similar. I want to make sure I'm getting the right one. She mentioned that we had matted into the wool, and Ashley mentioned whether or not I would be coming this next year or this year. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do it. Timing is just, it just is bad this year. Laura will be moving to North Carolina in mid-August, and into the wool is just a few weeks later. And with me taking off spring break and then taking off to go to North Carolina for orientation in June and then moving Laura in August, I honestly will have used up all of my vacation time at that point. So I don't have the time to spend or to go, even if I could make it work financially and without going crazy with all of the travel and all of that stuff. So unfortunately, I'm not going to get to go this year, but hopefully I will get to go another year. So yeah, or maybe you will make it out to Texas to one of our fiber festivals at some point. I would like to try to maybe work something out, depending on how long we're in North Carolina for, when we go up for moving Laura or orientation or something like that. I would love it if we could get together with some of the North Carolina area people. But that's not a promise because I don't even know what our schedule is going to be like. What else? There was something else. I don't know if I have mentioned, I don't think I did mention because this is the first time I think I've mentioned for sure that I'm not going to Into the Wall. The main reason I'm not going to Into the Wall is because the other reason I'm not going to Into the Wall, not the main reason. The thing that is placating me is that I do plan to go to Stitches, Texas, which is just a few weeks after Into the Wool. And it's in Irving, Texas, which is just about 3.5 or so hours north of me. And I definitely do intend to do that. So that is my plan. The only other thing that I was going to mention, and this is just kind of a ramble. My husband and I are actually considering starting a video podcast. I think if I do that, that I'll probably alternate between that one and then and doing the audio too, because I don't really want to give up the audio, and I don't want to give up the couple of listeners I have that I know for sure won't watch a video podcast. But that's something that we're contemplating. You know, it would be knitting and astronomy and probably some of the outdoorsy stuff that we do. Maybe do kind of like the Bakery Bears do, an out and about type thing maybe. I don't know. But it's something that we are mulling over. When we were walking the other day, we were talking about the possibility of doing that. So if I do, I will for sure let you know. I can tell that I have been talking too long because I'm starting to stumble over my words. It is getting late. It's almost 8 o'clock now. And I have things that I want to do and need to do before work tomorrow. So I am going to let you guys go. I will talk to you very soon, and I hope you all have a wonderful week. Bye.